relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Dear friends, welcome to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump and currently member of the National Security Education Board at the Pentagon. As I've mentioned on my daily show numerous times in the last 2 years, the biggest problem we have, forget what your favorite issue is, whether you're pro-life, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, the biggest issue we have is courage or the lack thereof to deal with people who really want to divide us into tribes and people who are racists, like the current incumbent in the White House, who, remember, said this on the campaign trail.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
I would call that bigotry. Let's talk about all of these issues with a man who impressed me greatly recently at the New Jersey at the seat at the table event. He is Pastor John Amanchukwu. Welcome to America First One-on-One, Pastor John.
Thank you so much, Sebastian, for having me.
It was a delight to have you on my Newsmax show just a couple of days ago. Now we have the luxury of a little bit more time here on America First. First, would you begin by sharing with those who are listening, our 3 million listeners, plus all the people on the video feed, a little bit about your story, how you got to be where you are today? Just give us a little bio summary, if you would.
Well, I was born in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Moved to Raleigh, North Carolina at the age of five. My mother packed up four children in a black and red Thunderbird with only $100 to her name. And we came and stayed in Raleigh, North Carolina. We lived in a shelter for nearly a year. Progressed through school here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Went to North Carolina State University. Graduated from there and played football there. So go Pack, go all of the NC State fans. That is the only football team that matters. I got married in 2007. I have three children, a beautiful bride. I serve as a youth pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, and I've led a pro-life group through Love Life at a local abortion clinic for the past 4 years.
Wonderful. One of the things you said at the very beginning of your speech at the panel at that event by George and Elizabeth Nader is the importance of understanding the dissolution of the African-American family and the replacement of the father and the male in the household with a new God. And that God, you said, is government. Very powerful words. Would you explain what you mean by all of that and what effect it has had on the black community?
Great question. From the 1900s all the way up to 1968, which is around the time frame of the death of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the black marriage rate rivaled that of whites. But Lyndon B. Johnson, a liberal president, had a plan to devastate the black community, and he found a way to get the black man out of the home by offering black women a 400 through government assistance and handouts, i.e. welfare. And through that, it decimated the black home, and now the marriage rate amongst black women, I believe 80% of our homes are without a father in them. And so that made government God, because government became daddy for the black child. That's where we receive our support from the government assistant programs.
So here's the naive question for you, Pastor John. I look at everything that has happened since then, the tens of millions of black children aborted, the maintenance of poverty in those communities, despite the more than $4 trillion worth of quote-unquote aid going into those communities. And I ask myself this question, why did more than 90% of this community vote I get it for a black president. I understand identity politics. But for a wizened, old, white, senile machine politician from Delaware, why is there a, seemingly this unbreakable loyalty to the Democrat Party that seems to have done such incredible damage to the community?
Well, when you devastate the home and the father is no longer there, then you break the back of the patriarchal system, which is the leadership in the home, i.e. the father, the male, the one that gives the identity for the family. And then also many in the black church, i.e. our pastors, our leaders, consider men like Reverend Jesse Jackson, who initially coined the phrase black genocide. But when it was time for him to run for the office of presidency, he sold his community down the river and he flipped sides. And he now would no longer call it black genocide, but he went along with the left just to gain support. And oftentimes in the black community, we receive our education as it relates to politics from the preacher. The preacher holds a prominent role, but many in the black church, you know, the pastors are liberal. They're in bed with the Democratic Party. The symbol that they should be clinging to should be the cross, but instead it's a donkey. You know, it's the liberal agenda. And they preach in that same manner. And so one of the things that I've oftentimes seen is when pastors choose to speak up in the black church and they preach a true biblical sound message, you know, with the biblical worldview, then their congregation gets to hear both sides of what's going on so they can make a better choice on what they should do. And they're no longer in the position of being low information voters.
For those who are listening and not watching on Rumble, that is a well-used Bible the pastor held up to the camera. You can tell that man uses that holy book with a great intensity. I have to ask you, what is it like to buck the trend, to say that, you know, you shouldn't be tied to this political party? Has this caused trouble for you as a faith leader in your community?
Yes, it has. But, you know, if you want to walk on this side, you must become accustomed to swimming upstream. Here's the thing. I'm labeled all the time as being a token, Uncle Tom, a Negro who doesn't know his place, or a black man that's now become an Oreo, or a white man who's trying to push the white man's issue or agenda, or they're paying me to say this and all of that garbage. But, you know, I have strong shoulders. You know, God made me 6'4", 260 pounds, and I'm not afraid of applying pressure or dealing with these issues. But I am well informed on the issues. I know that conservative principles, capitalism, free market, school choice, having educational systems that upbuild and uplift the traditional family, I know that those things fare out best for our community. And so instead of being sucked in and allowing people to throw me off course, I stay the course because I know that I'm fixed on a prize that is worth obtaining.
Yes, indeed it is. You've got to follow this guy. His Twitter feed is Rev Woo Truth, R-E-V-W-U Truth. I convinced him to get back on Twitter. He just met me and I said, come on, dude, get back on Twitter. And we made it happen. The book is Erased. You've got to get it now. Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. He's Pastor John Amanchukwu. You can go to his webpage to get that book. It is johnamanchukwu.com. This is America First. Make sure you are subscribed. Go to Spotify, punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First. Never miss an episode. If you haven't done so already, join us for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year with the director of 2000 Mules. Yes, Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife. We are going to be literally walking where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me, Dinesh, and Debbie. Register today. Reserve your tickets. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going. Join us. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. Go on. You know you want to do it. StandWithIsraelTour.com. You've known it in your gut. Something just wasn't right about the 2020 election. Well, you were right. And here's the proof you've been waiting for. In Dinesh D'Souza's explosive new documentary, 2000 Mules, you'll see jaw-dropping evidence of exactly how the Democrats pulled off the biggest heist in American history, drawing on meticulous research from election integrity group True the Vote. 2000 Mules uses both cell phone geo-tracking data and video evidence to uncover a massive network of illegal ballot trafficking in all five key swing states. Enough election fraud to change the outcome of the 2020 election. Thousands across the country attended the nationwide theatrical release. Now you can watch from the comfort of your own home. Watch on any device with a web browser. Gather friends, family, and skeptics alike, but don't miss it. See the movie President Donald Trump calls a real blockbuster. Go to salemnow.com to watch today. That's salemnow.com. salemnow.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group. Pastor John, I have to ask you first this question with regards to your community. When you look at my former boss, the man I worked for, President Trump, who was labeled for 4 years, who, by the way, before he became a politician or ran for president, was loved by popular culture from, you know, you're doing cameos in Home Alone to rappers singing about, you know, the Donald. Suddenly he becomes a Republican president and he's a misogynist, Islamophobe, racist, white supremacist Nazi for 4 years. And then weirdly, he gets more votes from the black community and Hispanic community in 2020 than he did in 2016 after 4 years of being called a white supremacist, the most votes from the ethnic community for a Republican president since the 1960s. So will you help me unpack, because I'm not in the community, I'm not there preaching to a black church like you are, what happened under those 4 years? Did the black community see through the lies? And what do they in general think about my former boss?
Well, black people see through the lies. I want to quote my mentor, Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden Sr. You know, he says that some people vote one way and pray another. There are many blacks who are truly conservative away from the voting booth. You know, but when it's time to vote, they just cast a vote that doesn't correlate to their true political beliefs. And we did see that Donald Trump gained support in the black community. And I believe that he will continue to do so because people want a president who's going to speak to real issues. No one wants a true out of the box politician who's going to just tell you what people want to hear and make you feel good. We saw that through Barack Hussein Obama. He told us everything that we wanted to hear in an eloquent way. But at the end of the day, what did black people get from 8 years of his presidency? Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing. But the two winners of his presidency were the LGBTQIA+PERVERT community.
Right.
Right. And Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
They're the winners. But I believe President Trump was the first president to go to the March for Life.
Trump was the first incumbent president to address the March for Life from his position as president, which is shocking. I'm not even Ronald Reagan did that. So let me just ask you, let me have a sanity check. In my opinion, I'm just an immigrant. I arrived to America the year he was elected in 2008. But it is my opinion that race relations were worse by the end of the 8 years of Obama than they were when he arrived. Do you agree with that, Pastor John?
This is true. The only way that we can keep the black man and the black woman on the plantation that Lyndon B. Johnson said that he would keep us on for 200 years is that you must employ race hustling. Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton, Ben Crump, all of these voices, the NAACP, who sold the true black cause down the river. And they're now just supporting issues pertaining to the LGBTQ community. You have to do all of those things in order to continue to gain support. You know, but critical race theory has received a resurgence because of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know, we have to divide communities, pit the black man against the white men and say that the white man is the oppressor and black men are victims. And so we create this victim mentality within black people. But hey, man, I'm not a victim. God has greatly blessed me. I'm married. I live in a wonderful community on a corner lot beside white people. I look to my left, I see a white person. I look to the right, I see a white person. My children go to one of the leading private Christian schools in North Carolina. I am no one's victim. My mother took care of four children making no more than $28,000 a year. We are the quintessential American story. She worked hard. There were two things that she told us we can do with our hands. We can turn them upside down and beg, or right side up and work. And we chose to work. If you work in this country, if you burn the midnight oil, if you take advantage of the public school system or whatever system you can get into, you will be successful. But oftentimes the left wants to keep black people in the past to keep us in Stockholm syndrome and to keep us in love with the individuals who really want to harm us.
Yeah, that's a fabulous analogy or way of talking about it. So the Stockholm syndrome, for those who forget the 1970s and 80s, is, you know, the bank robber, the terrorist, the hostage taker. The longer the hostage is under the control of the hostage taker, the higher the propensity for them to end up actually sympathizing with the hostage taker. You have stories of some women actually falling in love with the hostage taker. So this is the analogy that the black community is somehow being enticed or becoming more sympathetic to this Democrat Party. That really, you've had Candace Owens use this phrase that there is a political plantation, and you've used that phrase as well, plantation. This is a political version of the prior plantations, correct?
It is true. It's correct. You know, Margaret Sanger said that she wanted to exterminate the black population and that she was going to use the black preacher to do it if it ever occurs to any of the rebellious Negroes who did not want to support abortion. And today, who is supporting abortion in an alarming way? Black liberals.
Yeah.
We are supporting the institution that seeks to destroy us and to kill us. 900 Negroes, in the words of Margaret Sanger, die every day in this country. And what do? We support the NAACP. We support Mayor Lightfoot. We support Reverend Jesse Jackson. We support all of these liberal candidates who want to kill us. We are the cheap prostitutes of the Democratic Party.
Listen,
they screw us and barely pay us.
Listen to the math. The total number for abortions every day is 3,000. 900 of those are black. That's 30%, despite the fact that the black population of America is only 13%. What does that tell you about the targeting of the black community? Oh, my gosh. So much more to discuss. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. This is America First One-on-One with Pastor John Amanchukwu.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Pastor John, you mentioned CRT. Can you talk to us about what we've witnessed in the last 3 years, how Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the social justice concept, George Floyd and CRT, how this fits into what you're witnessing and what it's truly done to the black community? And what? How about this? How about what Martin Luther King Jr. would have thought about the last 3 years?
A great, great, great question. The reason why I wrote the book Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion, is because in the summer of 2020, as I watched city after city be burned down, while liberal governors and mayors stood back and were out there chanting and shouting, defund the police as well, we watched anarchists rule our communities. You had the inmates running the asylum. And what we saw clearly was critical race theory acted out. We saw BLM, an organization which was founded by, I believe, three lesbians who don't want men.
Marxists. So when you go, Marxist lesbians.
That's right. Marxist lesbians. I'm gonna get there. Patrice Cullors says she was a trained Marxist.
Yeah.
She's steeped in Marxism. And when you go to their website, I tried to go to it today and it's offline. Go figure. Because people now know that it's a sham. But about 2 years ago, when you would go to the BLM website, you will find out they are against the nuclear family. Nowhere on that website do you see the upward mobility of the black man. All right. You see nothing about black fathers. You see nothing about school choice. You saw nothing about ending abortion. You know, if black lives matter, what about the black baby in the womb that's being killed? You know, the most dangerous place for a black baby today is in the womb of his mother.
Yeah.
But when you take a look at the BLM website, you see nothing about it.
Well, and the original version of the BLM website had that notorious phrase where they said, we are targeting the traditional nuclear family, as if, you know, 50 years of the destruction of the black nuclear family wasn't enough. Black Lives Matter wanted to destroy it even more. Okay, so you mentioned the abortion rate. You mentioned Margaret Sanger. So help me here. Please, if this is what I can't comprehend. So Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist who hated mentally incompetent people and black Americans, thought they were overpopulating America, and she is the progenitor, the founder of Planned Parenthood, this woman who was a racist. And now, you know, they give out Margaret Sanger awards to people like Hillary Clinton. The Planned Parenthood clinics are almost always located in lower income black communities, targeting those communities, disproportionately high number of black children being aborted. If this isn't a wake up call, or let me ask it another way, why is the black community not saying, hang on, why are they so keen to abort our black children, and they're using Democrat money, and then the Planned Parenthood is funding Democrat candidates? Can't they put two and two together and say they're coming after us, Pastor John?
Well, yeah, they have sold us a bill of goods. Here's the thing. When you slap this sexy word called justice on a thing, it seems sanitized or moral or right. You know, we're going to support reproductive justice. You know, we're going to support transgenderism justice, or justice for those individuals who are hated by society. And so when they do that, people begin to say, you know what, well, maybe, you know, everyone deserves justice. Or maybe when they call it a choice or a woman's right to choose, people like that thought process, you know, because a woman wants to make her own decision about what she should do with her body and with her life. But they never finish that statement. A woman's right to choose to do what?
Yeah.
To kill a life within her womb. Now, that baby should have rights, and it does. But in this nation, we have refrained from allowing the baby in the womb to have his or her inalienable rights.
Yes.
And this is a condemnation and blot upon America. And guess what? God is responding.
Yeah,
I believe.
Hang on. I want you to hold that thought. I just want to register two things here, especially this idea that you question the woman's right to do what? To kill the human inside her. And then I'm going to tweet this, and I'm going to give you credit. This concept that, guess what? The baby, unique genetic material, has unalienable rights as well. So hold that thought. That's first right. Things first, let's pay the rent. So you said, Pastor, you said just a moment ago, God is listening, God is responding. Talk to us about what that means.
Yeah, so 2 Samuel chapter 21. The Bible discusses a scenario that took place where God visited the sin of Saul upon the reign of David. And the sin of Saul was that he killed the Gibeonites. He killed them unlawfully, and God visited that sin during the reign of David. And during that time frame, a famine broke out in the land because of the shedding of innocent blood. And keep in mind, Saul was dead for about 30 years when God brought this upon Israel during the reign of David. And the only way for them to get rid of that sin is that they had to repent of the evil that they had done. America has experienced a famine for the past 3 years, right? We've been in COVID-19. We've seen the government bludgeon communities and the church. You know, the church was closed, but other things were allowed to remain open. You had the vape stores and the ABC store open, but the church was closed. We see the famine in the land because we have poor leadership. We have a president who should, at the end of the day, be at home or in nursing care, getting the assistance that he needs, but instead he's leading our country. And I don't say that in a condescending way. I pray for President Biden. You know, he needs to resign. You know, he can't lead this country in the mental shape that he is in. And so that's what I mean when I say that God is judging America. Look at the inflation at an all-time high. They have to raise the rates in the U.S. in order to amend the rates of inflation. These things are not good. People who receive raises, they can't even feel the impact of it because the economy is bad. And when the economy goes sour, it's often because God is not pleased.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
So let's drill down on the COVID. You mentioned COVID. What is your message when it comes? Because I'm kind of horrified personally. I'm a cradle Catholic. And when I saw how my church responded, how they immediately got in line with the masks, with the sanitization, with the fear, what do you say to faith leaders of all communities? Are you not ashamed? I had one bishop, an Anglican bishop, say to me, you know, I have celebrated or gone to Mass for 40 years of my life. 40 years. I mean, you know, after 9/11, we didn't stop celebrating Mass. And now, because of this, we stopped during the London Blitz. As the Nazi bombs were falling, we still had celebrations of our faith every Sunday. So do you come out of the last 2 years depressed? What is your message to communities whose faith leaders have failed them, Pastor John?
Well, you know, the position of a pastor is not to be in the seat of cowardice. It's the position of leading. You know, we lead our congregations in the same manner that Christ led the church. being willing to die for it and to stand at all costs. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are not supposed to, as Christians, close our churches down, get on a live stream, and preach our sermons from a coffee table in a bathrobe. That's not what God has right. called the church to do. When you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see men and women who stood the test of time in perilous times. Many of them had their bodies sawn asunder. You think of the martyrs like Stephen, who preached even while being stoned. You think about Eulalia of Barcelona, a 13-year-old young lady who received 13 tortures as a result of not denying Christ. You see Polycarp, who was set on fire, but the fire couldn't burn his flesh. And ultimately, when they pierced him in his side, the blood from his body put out the fire, and a dove flew out from his neck when they cut off his head. That's the kind of courage that you see in church history. I think that our pastors today are oftentimes too soft and too flimsy. There are three things that a pastor needs. They need a jawbone, they need a backbone, and they need a tailbone. They need a jawbone so that they can speak up, a backbone so that they can stand up, and a tailbone so that they can hold up. But many of our pastors today are jawless. They've gone from dumbing down the truth to gumming it down. They gum down the truth, and they don't speak truth to power because they are afraid. Or maybe it's because they're more concerned about keeping rear ends in the seats at church, and they're afraid of what a board member might say.
Right.
You know, when you are called to be a shepherd, to be a pastor, you are set in place by God and not by man.
You have a way with words. I'll give it to you again. Jawbone, backbone, tailbone. We need to go on the road, you and me. We need to, you know, get this message out there. You as a pastor, me as just some guy with a funny accent, but I love it. So cool.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Count me in.
A couple of minutes left. First things first. Are you seeing some positive signs? What are you seeing? Your book is erased. You're traveling the country. What are you seeing in terms of good signs out there?
I'm seeing a lot of great signs. I have pastors who are bringing me in around the country to preach about critical race theory and abortion. You know, I also want to include that the church that I attend, our pastor kept us open, you know. For a little bit, we defied what King Nebuchadnezzar was saying, our governor, Roy Cooper, and we remained open as long as we could. But once he was overturned, we came back to service and we had our church gatherings, and we just celebrated over 100 weeks of being in live person services.
Wow.
We believe that worship is worth the risk. That's what we believe. Got right. It. And so, yes, I am seeing a lot of positive success out there. Go to johnamanchuku.com and purchase my book. Pastor, if you are trying to figure out what to say to your congregation because you are, you know, just not aware of what you should mention to them as it relates to abortion and critical race theory, bring me in. Read my book, chapter by chapter.
Reach out. I'm going to spell it right now. It's John Amanchukwu. That's AmanChukwu.com. The easiest way to find him is on Twitter, Rev Woo Truth. That's REVWU Truth. And the book is erased. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. We've only got a couple of minutes left. So let me ask you right now, you are in the pulpit of the church, and you are finishing your sermon, couple of minutes left. You are talking to a rather large church right now. It's got 3 million people in it, and it actually spans from Los Angeles to New York. What would you say to all of our listeners who have lost their way or lost their faith a little bit in the last 3 years of COVID and the last 15 months of Biden?
Well, I would say to them this, you know, to the person who is not converted or still in darkness, maybe they're not a Christian believer, the human experience is that of a horror story. But to the Christian believer, this is a dramatic story. We know what the end of the book says. The Bible lets us know that we have overcome Satan, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal the land. The greatest form of economic development for this nation is not obedience to government, but it's obedience to the God of the Bible.
Wow. And as those who are already saved and as Americans, we have to always be optimists, correct? Correct, Pastor John?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's the American way. We never give up. We never give in.
That's right. We never give up. We never give in. We know that hope is in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're going to go through some hard times. You know, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But we have this hope. We have the abiding of the Holy Spirit within us. And we can conquer these evil times and do great exploits only if we trust and lean on Jesus Christ.
Well, I have to thank you for what you did for me when I heard you speak for the first time just barely over a week ago in New Jersey. Thank you to Elizabeth and George Nader for organizing that event. Look, we all need a little bit of a recharge now and again. You've done it for me. The fact is, every single one of you listening and watching today can have the catalytic effect that Pastor John had on me. If you show courage, if you cleave to the truth, you will affect others, and everything is possible. The book is erased. Order it right now. It is by John Amanchukwu Sr., Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. And you can find it if you just go to Twitter at Rev Wu Truth. That's R-E-V-W-U Truth, Rev Wu Truth. God bless you. Can't wait to plan that trip. We're going to take this message across the nation. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about the leaker. I would like to find out who the leaker is so I could make sweet love to that person, because that person is a hero to me. Okay? And if the leaker, yeah. A lot of people are saying it could be a conservative. If the leaker is a Republican, and if I get pregnant during our lovemaking, I will joyfully abort our fetus and let them know.
They're laughing. They're smiling at that woman's comments. Lori Kilmartin, or rather, Lori Kilbaby. That's an MSNBC guest who said, I want to have sex with whoever leaked the Supreme Court preliminary decision to send Roe v. Wade back to the states. And if I got pregnant by a conservative, if they were the leaker, I would, quote, joyfully kill that baby. Do you need a more succinct summary, Precy, of what the left has become? Welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Network, across the nation from coast to coast, and also streaming on the Salem News Channel. The fact that that person is happy about killing another child is the proof of the demonic nature of what we face. Early today, I tweeted, I've had it with these milquetoast, politically correct versions of who we are facing down as enemies of all that is good and sacred. They're not progressives. They're not leftists. They're not Democrats. There's only one descriptor that fits for these people. They are anti-American. Whatever the topic is, life, protecting the innocent, freedom of speech, self-defense in the Second Amendment, market capitalism, a robust economy, sovereignty for our nation, and the lack of a victimhood culture, it doesn't matter what the issue is. If you love America, you're one of us. If you hate America, you are one of them. It is that which binds them together. Whether it's that alleged comedian, or whether it's the senile old man in the White House, whether it's the new press secretary for the Biden regime, who has talked about stolen elections, but not by Democrats, only by Republicans, or whether it is fake conservatives, fake patriots, like Mark Esper, who clearly has some books to sell. Let's listen to a man who took an oath of office to be a cabinet member, to run the Department of Defense, the most powerful entity of any government in the world. And now he says things a little bit differently. Cut six, Mark Esper.
Do you think Donald Trump was a threat to democracy?
I think that given the events of January 6th, given how he has undermined the election results, he incited people to come to D.C., stirred them up that morning and failed to call them off. To me, that threatens our democracy.
So, yes,
I think the answer would. What else can you conclude, Brett?
And Brett Baer on Fox gives him a platform. But when he was asked why he served in that administration, because he wasn't conscripted. You don't become conscripted as Secretary of Defense. You're a civilian. You're asked. You go to an interview with the incumbent president who says, would you like to be my cabinet member? And you can say, no, I hate you. Oh, yes, I would be honored to serve in your administration. So why did he say yes? And when he found out who he was serving, surprise, surprise, a man who loves America and hates our enemies, why didn't he resign? Well, let's listen to his answer on Slow Joe's show, Cut 7.
Now, I know this question has come up. Why didn't I speak out at the time? Why didn't I resign? I addressed this in the first few pages of the book. It was the existential question, I think, for me and many others who served. Why did you go in? Why did you stay? And why didn't you resign? And in my view, it came down to this. At the end of the day, I was serving my country. I wasn't serving the president or the party or a philosophy. I was serving the country. And I thought I was better off in the job than walking away.
I want that clip to be saved. I want that to be used in prosecutions against Mark Esper, because what he just admitted to was sedition and sabotage. He said, I stayed in there to undermine the president and serve the will of the American people, which is strange, Mark Esper, because it's the American people who chose Donald Trump. 64 million of them chose President Trump as commander-in-chief, as the chief executive, as the president. Nobody in your stinking, disgusting, invertebrate life ever voted for you, you piece of filth.
But you stayed in a position of highest authority with all the clearances afforded the cabinet member in charge of the Pentagon to use them against the person who was elected commander-in-chief. It's because of people like Mark Esper. It's because of statements like that one that I'm not interested in just winning elections. I'm not interested in having every committee of the Senate and the House serve as an investigatory committee that's going to subpoena people. I couldn't care less what Congress does or the Senate does, because they have demonstrated themselves for at least half a century to be unfit as a collective body. Not individual people, not the half a dozen people who come on my show. As a collective entity representing the American people, they are unfit to serve. I want to see people like Mark Esper charged. I want them arrested for sedition, for treason. Vindman, Eric Chiaramella, Esper, and the rest of them who felt that they had the right to subvert the will of the people. Mark Milley's private phone calls to the chief of staff of Red Communist China's People's Liberation Army, which he admitted, he said, I wanted to tell them, don't worry, if my boss, President Trump, starts a war before the election, Milley, what the hell are you talking about? He said, don't worry, I'll warn you in advance. I'll warn communist China with their gulags what the president has planned. That is textbook treason. These individuals need to be arrested and charged and tried by a jury of their peers. Because otherwise, it's just going to keep on happening like a chronic hysteresis again and again and again until the swamp has utter control and there are no Donald Trumps. There are no people with a backbone who aren't owned by the special interests. It will be just the swamp, the left, their patsies, and their bootlickers like Esper. And I'm not going to let that happen. If I have one more person respond to my 2,000 mules tweet saying, oh, we better win the Senate and the House this year, I'm going to explode. Because my response is this: what the hell are you doing about it? Don't say, oh, we better win. Are you running? Are you volunteering? Are you putting your head above the parapet? Because if you aren't, shut up, because you're part of the problem. I want people of courage, men and women. But it's going to be mostly the men, because it is the men who always save civilization. Joan of Arc, yeah, that was great. But in the history of Western civilization, it's men who are dangerous, who are prepared to serve ultimate objective truth. Are you part of that? I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Find the podcast. Subscribe right now. Go to Spotify. Never miss a moment. Stay on this channel.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.